Cities around Pennsylvania started decriminalizing marijuana in 2014. You would think that would mean fewer people are being arrested for possession around the state, but that's not true.
The numbers are actually higher than they were before 2014, before any city in Pennsylvania decriminalized marijuana with ordinances.
Why is that? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Sam Wood covers cannabis for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Sam, what is the law in Pennsylvania on marijuana anyway?
Well, you can get medical marijuana if you have a terminal illness, chronic pain, irritable bowel syndrome. There are about 24 ailments that will qualify you for medical marijuana. But recreational marijuana is still illegal in Pennsylvania. And even if you're a medical marijuana patient, it's still illegal to drive while under the influence, and you can get a DUI.
We're going to begin now with what could be the end of a decades-long drug policy in the city of brotherly love.
Getting caught with a small amount of marijuana will now be treated like a ticket, according to Pittsburgh's mayor.
Harrisburg now joins Philadelphia and Pittsburgh as major Pennsylvania cities to decriminalize marijuana.
Most of Pennsylvania's biggest cities, though, have passed ordinances decriminalizing small amounts. Philadelphia, which is held up as a gold standard for decriminalization ordinances, 90% decrease in marijuana arrests. But also Pittsburgh, Erie, Allentown, Harrisburg, York, Lancaster, and most recently Norristown. In those places, if you get caught for possessing small amounts of weed, usually you'll get a citation and a fine, like a parking ticket. Typical fines are usually $25 to $500.
So why are there so many more arrests now than there were before cities started to decriminalize in 2014?
Well, that's the key question.
Law enforcement cannot be stripped of its authority to enforce Pennsylvania state law by local decriminalization ordinances.
I talked to Patrick Nightingale. He's a cannabis law attorney in Pittsburgh, and he said that local and state police or the county district attorneys don't have to follow the municipal ordinances calling for decriminalization. Police can still make arrests at their discretion.
Well, wait a minute. Why make the ordinances if police aren't following them?
I think it's the thought that counts. No. You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, there are battles to get these ordinances passed. But yeah, do they have, is there sufficient power behind them? I don't know. And I was surprised, too, to find out that the municipal police department doesn't have to follow the municipal ordinance. And they can just appeal to, well, you know, state law says it's illegal, so we're going to make the arrests anyway.
Yeah. So, Sam, you're saying it's up to police discretion in places where it is decriminalized. What about the places that don't have these decriminalization ordinances? What's going on there?
Well, like many of the municipalities ringing Philadelphia, they are still technically arresting a lot of people, but they're not going full throttle on prosecutions, let alone locking people up. In the four counties in the Philadelphia area, they showed they filed charges for less than 60% of the people they arrested for marijuana possession in 2017. For example, the Abington Police Department is still reporting a lot of arrests, and they have high numbers. But I talked to Chief Pat Malloy.
I'm Chief of Police in Abington Township Police Department.
And here's what he says is happening.
Well, it has not been decriminalized in Abington. For many years, we have been, officers have been using discretion.
Cops make a stop. They smell weed, and they say, don't do that here. But they're not throwing cuffs on them. I mean, they're not taking them to a jail cell. That represents just a very small, relatively small number of the stops that they make. So they're issuing people citations, often for disorderly conduct, asking them to do community service at most, and then letting them go on their way. So when we're looking at the numbers from 2018, which is the most recent I have for Abington, and you compare them to 2014, it still looks like a relative spike. But that's only because the only way to record a stop is to record it as an arrest.
That citation still shows up to a layperson as if we're locking people up for marijuana.
Why is Abington showing a little bit more, I guess, loose discretion when it comes to enforcing laws pertaining to marijuana?
I think that has to do with Abington just being a much more liberal and diverse township.
Most officers understand that the norms in societies have changed over the years.
There are a lot of people coming in and out because it's, you know, on the north-south corridor.
Right.
Somebody could be walking on township line, you know, smoking a joint and then cross the street, come into Abington, and what they were doing in Philadelphia was just a civil violation. But if you step onto, you know, Abington, possession of marijuana can be a criminal offense.
You know, their previous numbers were really high, and yes, they were concerned about, you know, they were over-arresting or overstopping people of color. You know, they spent money for a study to figure out why, and again, it looks like they've responded to those.
Sometimes some of these laws on the books, the way you enforce them, it could have a disparate impact on our minority communities, and we have to operate in that complex environment. I'm proud of the way my officers handle those things by cutting brakes when they can.
But Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, who makes no bones about being an advocate for legalizing marijuana in Pennsylvania, has said that even one arrest is too many. And he went on a listening tour of the state, was it last year or the year before, and he spoke to large groups, wherever he went, of conservatives and liberals.
I went to the reddest of the reds and the bluest of the blues, and there's very little disagreement.
And he said, of the people he spoke to, most of them want to see marijuana legalized.
They may not use it themselves the way you may not use alcohol or tobacco, but they believe it belongs in that basket of goods.
He maintains that arrests are racially discriminatory, and he's got good reason to do that.
Thousands of people are dragged into the criminal justice system for using a plant. And it overwhelmingly, disproportionately impacts people of color, and it creates a record. It genuinely breaks my heart.
We'll be right back. This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Sam Wood about Pennsylvania's uneven enforcement of marijuana laws. We've been talking about the Philadelphia area, but Sam says there's even more going on with marijuana arrests in other parts of the state.
State activists and lawyers I've spoken to have told me that anecdotally, arrests are up in the rural part of the state because police are charging medical cannabis patients with possession, and that leads to DUI charges.
Wait a minute, Sam. Can't you just show them your medical marijuana card?
No, and that could be a big mistake, too. Driving while under the influence of marijuana is still very illegal in Pennsylvania. And Patrick Nightingale, the cannabis lawyer in Pittsburgh, tells people to not even show it to an officer voluntarily because it would give them enough probable cause to search their car or to just ask when they last took their medicine. So, you know, we're still figuring out what it means to be impaired while driving when it comes to marijuana. So if you consumed within the last 3 weeks and you're driving, you still have the metabolite of THC in your blood. If they take a blood test and they find that, they can charge you with driving under the influence.
Huh.
It might have been 3 weeks since you were last stoned. Maybe you were in Colorado where it's legal.
Right.
But they can still go at you full bore.
You know, Sam, it seems like this conversation about cannabis and arrests and what constitutes an arrest and ordinances, it seems like Pennsylvania is all over the place when it comes to these kinds of laws and how they're enforced.
It is. Yeah, and reporting the story was like walking into a morass. There's no consistency anywhere, you know, from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh to Harrisburg, right. let alone the Pennsylvania hinterlands. I mean, it's crazy. And then on top of that, you have these numbers. You have these things that look like proper statistics, but it's very hard to know what each one of these municipalities counts as an arrest.
Right. So what is it going to take for everybody to get on the same page in Pennsylvania?
You know, I have no idea. It is a mystery to me. It would be nice if there was some guidance from, you know, like the AG's office or something.
Right.
You know, I understand there's maybe a little bit more of that happening. But Lieutenant Governor Fetterman says it'll take legalization of recreational marijuana statewide to actually iron out all these inconsistencies.
We're in that gray zone right now because the policy doesn't match where the people are at. And it has to change.
He says as long as there's a law on the books, it gives justification to make arrests. And those arrests, especially for people of color being disproportionately squeezed, can make people lose federally subsidized housing, custody of their kids,
wow.
You know, funding to go to school. I mean, there's a lot at stake.
As long as there's any law on the book, there's going to be some kind of justification where that's weaponized in a manner that I believe is counterproductive to society.
Fetterman says Pennsylvania will soon be bordered by states like New York, New Jersey, Maryland with legal pot. So Pennsylvania should follow their lead. That is, if we regulate it, it makes it safer for everyone, and it will give Pennsylvania residents some peace of mind.
Well, really interesting food for thought, Sam. It's great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure.
That was Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Sam Wood. The Y is produced by Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Buffy Gorilla, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help for today's episode from Eugene Son. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. I'm Annette John Hall. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.